Thank you. The distinction between master and student.
Strongest, And this is in a world where people can be stroking on the days of conversation and confessions. As described by the human doctor, we say, my emotion, reservation, 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 they come to the understanding that they are the eternal friends of Krishna. They are the only ones who are in the condition. As stated in the Lord Buddha, he says that in the condition of the nation of the Krishna, due to the moral condition, he desired many things. And according to our desire or anxiety, and according to the order of the human world, material nature, gives us certain. Under the spell of material nature, we have become servants and masters. As we appear to be controlled by the supreme personality of Godhead and the eternal servants, this temporary condition is I'm going to be in charge of it. looking for any kind of happiness or any kind of secret to let go. In the beginning, the second chapter of the kingdom, this resumes the description of the blessed gifts and how to handle the blessed gifts. The person who is transcendental to the gifts of this manifestation, he has all the consequences of the blessed gifts. And the vision of these series of verses explains that King of God's reason He's not elated when there's praise. He's not disturbed when there's blessing. He's not shaken when the material world goes against him. And he's not feeling defeated when people praise him. And he doesn't say, oh, someone called me. He's not He doesn't feel less angry when he's recognized my meditation. He doesn't speak like that. He certainly doesn't speak the way that he knows that this people has spoken to them. Doesn't speak from a position of arrogance or control or power. He takes his position as a person. So, God Bart displays all these qualities. Definitely all these qualities. And he has another quality. Beyond the beyond level of in addition to he was a devotee of Krishna, Supreme Lord. He realized that only the holiness that he was going to get, the only thing that he wanted in life, the only thing he needed to achieve perfection was as a service to the Godhead. He saw that in his past lives, he had made some serious mistakes, and he was determined not to make them anymore. But nevertheless, he found here to see, just beginning to see, that Jagannath is going to take certain jobs. He's kind of turned off the whole material world, and he has avoided the association, the conversation with anybody in the material world. He didn't want to feel entangled. We didn't want to get, and sometimes we have that feeling even when we just chant on the sun, we just chant on it. But we don't want someone to come over and say, we're really determined we'll even turn our phone so that no one can send us a text with us either. We don't feel like we're going to do that. We tell you that we're coming. But we try to bring our mind and focus it in the holy name of the Lord, just for that period when the children of God were too to make it today. But God was doing 24-7, just fixing his mind on those things of the human blood and avoiding anything that might be distracting, which he saw as everything. He saw everything. So he remembered that in his previous life, he had become distracted even by such a wonderful quality of compassion, the wonderful qualities of country, for that compassion to feel the need to assist those in distress. But now he's so moved by a different kind of compassion, a real compassion, a compassion motivated by seeing the living entity in a position of power who's fallen under the leadership. He does like recently, we heard from some of you, many of you know that Indra Bhumimaraj was quite ill. that can lead to revelation. We've got some serious criteria. Because this point, it must be a death action. So, in that helpless condition, we realize that if we can only depend on the mercy of whoever has the solution. And in this position, Jehovah is the supreme surgeon. He saw if they hadn't caught that virus at the very beginning, then that virus would have killed them. As the doctors were vigilant and they caught the virus right at the beginning, they had the proper medicine, they were able to kill the entire hospital. So, in the same way, Jehovah saw in this king the disease that he himself had died from. He had died from a disease, a misunderstanding of power, misunderstanding of compassion, and he had taken Jesus. And so now he saw this king who was thinking, he was thinking, I'm perfect, powerful, and happy, but it was just the beginning of the disease. He didn't have the disease to believe. You see this in 3 seconds. And even the fact that he was on the road to the ashram is an indication that he had some information, some training in his life, some psychic qualities that were going to lead him to be able to heal and recognize supreme qualities of Jehovah. Even though externally he appeared to be far from a son, far from saving person, he couldn't recognize that he was. So one of the advantages, one of the qualities of Jehovah, one of the qualities that someone in this position has is never pushed. And he met through a devotion, a different instruction that we're speaking in the first verse. Dear Bhakti Vedan, Master Kali Vedan, Guru Vedan, Guru Kamsa Vedan. This word Vedan, however, sometimes translates as pitch. So, you're all in mind. I'm sure you've experienced what pitch is like. And so, sometimes when pushing is there, we go somewhere and we don't go. Isn't it where if someone comes from behind or the side or goes behind one side and all of a sudden shoves you very respectfully, but nevertheless, get out of my way. There's a space right in front of you and I'm just saying, and they push and they push. So in the material, in his life, he could push. He could push by anger. He could push by envy. He could push by pride. He could push by hunger and our desire was the sense gratification from the sex desire. You get pushed and you get forced. You go where you don't want to go. We know, for those of us who are sitting here in this room, we have some knowledge. We're aware that we don't want to go. And yet, I doubt that there's one person in this room who can say they've never been pushed by one of these things and forced beyond their ability to stop it, at least for some time. Fortunately, it's mercy of good association. We can usually get a grip, right? They're falling down slowly, you grip onto something, they're triggered, or somebody else is standing, and you're hanging on to your mind. And that is, I can't even bend down unless I have something to get me up. I go down and I don't have something near me to help me up, I can't get up again. So, we don't want to be pushed, and Jehovah is witnessing, he's looking at the look and he's seeing this king, this leader of men, and he's leading men, he's a leader, that's what I'm trying to teach myself. He's a leader of men, but he's being pushed. He's being pushed by false pride, he's being pushed by anger. So much so that just because I'm trying to say some things, just because the pelvis is a little bit shaky, he's pretty much beat me. He's trying maybe to kill me. And he says, I think I should do something about this. This needs an intervention, as I said. I think I'm going to do an intervention. So he breaks his silence and he gives a small amount of instruction, a few verses. He speaks and he says to Deborah some words which indicate that he is someone other than what he appears to be. That he has transcendental knowledge. that he has the vision of someone who has understood the purpose of the Magi, who has been able to transcend the person. So that even when he sees the dear image directing him somewhere, he does understand well. Should have been taken. Even when he's going to kill, he still doesn't push, for he keeps to retaliate. Even in the after observation, the Swami descendant, Rupa Swami, he gives us a, in the Anyanga Vyasa Sunyam verse, he gives us a little act. He says that if we try to save our lives, that's not considered an impetus to bhakti. We're not considered an intent to bhakti. Because it's such a natural inclination, right? That when someone is threatening your life, you have a natural inclination to try to save yourself. So that's not considered deviation from trying to please Krishna. Because it says, I'm nothing supposed to get in the way of that bhakti. But Rupa Goswami says that that tendency to protect oneself from death doesn't stand in the way. But here, for Judge Bird, even though he was in that position, he didn't allow himself to get completely detected to be pushed. It's very interesting that in the Buddha of Kundalini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur cites Judge Bird as one of three most merciful people. So, three of the most merciful people that he mentioned, I'm not sure what to do on that. The song Raj of Chaitu, and apparently it's mentioned in the Chantikarga that this king was took the demigod side in putting the solutions of his curse, going through his hardest conflict, and there he was tortured in so many ways, and he felt compassion for his tortures, and so he gave them transcendental. The other person we know very well is Nityananda Maharaja. Nityananda Maharaja, the emblem of mercy, that even Dhanai Maharaja and so many others who tried to find him in different ways and threw insults at him and even taught, tried to hit his head, made him bleed, he stood up for them. He begged Nityananda Maharaja, please spare them. If you're going to kill everybody in this material world who isn't qualified, you're going to have to kill everybody. Because this is how you know he's qualified. Everybody is in this group. So then he just gives them the introduction to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who acquiesces to this request. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful. So then the third person is Judge Bhakt, that vision of Chaitanya. Of being most merciful. Because he explains that he gave mercy to everybody. He gave mercy to his brothers. Even though his brothers were so overcome by passion and even enemies that they mistreated him very badly, but he gave mercy to them because he accepted their offerings with enthusiasm with rich. And by accepting their offerings, they were doing good actions. So they made spiritual adventure because they offered a good body, and he accepted it and he owned it with relish. And so they were advanced by his mercy, so he was merciful to them. He was merciful to the Catholics because by his mercy, the Catholic jumped out of the deity and ended their life. And by ending their life, their karma was also removed. They got some kind of redemption. Because they were in a hellish situation, hellish. They were continuing to continue, but if they continued in this way, then their karmas would become worse and worse and worse and worse and go on downwards. So how they ended it, playing ball with hands. So he was merciful to them. And now this king, who is actually, in the subhuman, but is being influenced now by the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance, so Bhagavad Gita is not certain. And he's been doing it timely now. He sees the disease, he's catching it at stage one.
and he's going to perform an operation to remove that disease. Hopefully, it won't be too late. Can you see your action? Thank you. Rubina is able to heal. So, because underneath the Rubina is covered with hardcore fears of Israel and the he has a sincere desire to be a servant. He has a sincere desire. He's a good kid. He wants to be a servant. And to some extent, his desire to recommend it to the to recommend John Barrett. He's motivated by that desire to train him up. This is good. He can do very nice stuff. He's got a little bit of birthday excitement. But his attitude was to train him up to show them how to do their service. And it's just they need some attention. He just didn't recognize their sacred character. So then the question comes, is it that we really want? Because when we hear instruction from sacred people, which we have already had the great fortune of being able to do, and hopefully we continue to do for years on end, this medicine won't take effect unless our desire is in harmony with the nature of the instruction. There will be conflict out equal to us if we have another desire. There's a nice story of a king who had a dog. And one day, she had a very precious necklace. She liked very much. She was very valuable. And then the crow came and grabbed it and took it from the necklace. And she was very, very disturbed. She went to the father and she said, "I'm not your necklace." So the father, he said, "Well, I'll get you another necklace." "Here's what the necklace is. I have some time to get you whatever necklace you want." She said, "No, I'm not that necklace. I like that necklace. I need to ask for that necklace. And I want that necklace. If you don't get me that necklace, I'm going to do this." So, in our misplaced, masterplaced daughter, he said, okay, I'll put out a reward throughout my kingdom, and whoever finds your witness will get half of the kingdom. So that proclamation went out far and wide, and needless to say, that's what you're looking for in your witness. And looking high and low and everywhere, trying to find the necklace, no one was too successful. He was taking a further mile, and the king finally himself thought, "Maybe I should try to find the necklace, because then I won't have to give down my kingdom to anybody. And no one seems to be able to find it, so maybe I'll be able to find it." So finally, one young man, he was looking in his Bible, and he saw the necklace. He thought, "The necklace is in this Bible wallet." So he dove into the Bible. But the Bible was filthy, dirty, full of mud. And as soon as he dived in, the mud was agitated. And all these insects were biting at him. And he was getting harassed in so many ways. So he came out of the surface of the Bible was all muddy. You know, waited a few minutes, standing there, agony, uncomfortable as anything. And he did it again. And the water settled. He saw the necklace. So he knew the necklace was in the water and fell in the water again, knowing this time that it was going to be unpleasant to him. But still he ran. And he drove around and tried to find the necklace and he said, "Joke is fine." And then he came out and he did, he saw the necklace. And finally, the word came out all around the top of the villages that the necklace has been spotted. So everyone came to this way. And even the king came to this way. Sure enough, they saw the necklace, it's there, you can see it. And they're all digging in the water. And now the moon is looking bright, he sees them all green, and he thinks, "What am I doing?" So he lands and goes to the king and says, "Oh my God, please tell me the glories of this beautiful night. It must be some holy tear." Everybody's dying in this life, it must be something wonderful. "Please tell me the glories of this. So the king was a little mad. He said, "I'm sorry. But actually what it is that my daughter came to us next. And she was so determined to get back to her and declare herself in my section from half my kingdom to anyone who could find the necklace. And now we slide the necklace in this lake. No, I'm trying to get it because it was in the kingdom. And now the kingdom. And now I only stop for a second. And then he heard me. And then he stopped for a second. And he started to laugh. Everyone was looking and roaring and laughing. The king, everyone was worrying and bleeding and a mess. And now we find it out to the tree. And there was the necklace hanging in the tree. And the reflection was in the water. Everything was bright. And because they were driving to the reflection, because they thought the reflection was really what they wanted, therefore, they made fools out of themselves. And it took the same person, like nine, to come to the rescue, to say, hey, listen, let's make a fool. And they cried, and they never really cried, and they came. And so God is going to do the same thing for me. You're diving in an ocean of repeated broken death, thinking that your happiness comes from being in charge, or being cool, or being big, or being powerful, or making me a servant, or bossing people around. But you're dying for the reflection. And because you're dying for the reflection, you're destined to both in the heat and in death. And who knows where you might end up? Now you're the king. Oh, this one's a king. Sister, I was a bigger king than you. I was my much. King of all. And look what happened. I became dear. And now I'm your clothing king. And it isn't going to be too long before you also be carried out. Who knows what will be next time? Maybe we'll talk to you. Like I said, people will catch the ground. Sometimes they come out and talk to you. We don't know what will be. So don't fool yourself. Don't die for the reflection. Because if you keep driving for reflection, you'll just get confused. In 5 years, you're doing my mind, whatever. It's very difficult to cross over. It's impossible. It's impossible. The only way to achieve success is to heal from the comfortable, the merciful Vajra. You need to move to the right. But I want to move a little bit. This is to give you a place. My present friend, who is here for me, and sister, Shri Prabhupada was that merciful person who came to the shore of this lake filled with burning incense and garbage and reflections. But there's green. Green is a word that's used in American fashion for imitation garments, things that glitter and shine and look valuable and glitzy and make you feel clean. But me, they have no value. They're just cheap plastic, right? Just cheap plastic garbage. But in Prabhupada used a good method. He used to say sometimes the sannyasi, sannyasi fell down with Prabhupada. He was pumping gas. Prabhupada said, just see, he used to eat off silver plates, and now he's pumping gas at the gas station. So, we're after bling, we're after some kind of material shine. In the West, and all over, now the Indian upside is no longer exempt. Even in Vrindavan, even in Mayapur, even on our campus, we have the chance, the opportunity to go for the reflection. So many servants, I mean, start to think I'm interested. I have so many servants. Someone is planting my garden, someone is harvesting my crops, someone is cutting them up, someone is cooking them, someone is serving it to me, someone is washing my lawn, someone is running my house, someone is getting it off for me, getting it free, someone is washing their baby, someone is cleaning my house. It goes on and on and on. I have so many servants. What does that make me? It makes me sad. It makes me master of my castle.
I wonder if that's what that does, isn't it?
But we have to be careful. Covenants things are inherently wrong, hungry, intimidating. Everything your servants and hookers and this oil hair, fancy clothes. He was definitely a fashion of the gods. He was enough. But he never forgot to. He never forgot that he was both a gossip and a loyal gossip. And as soon as he heard the words about Krishna and his mercy on Kumbhana, he immediately threw away the grace. I in so she was came to the growth of Blaine, New York City. Then he gave us Krishna consciousness. And he tried very hard to figure out, he didn't pray at the beginning, he prayed before he left the place when they were in a story how he went to Shantipur on a regular basis to pray to adult the child. He sat in the back of the temple chanting japa, and finally, one day he came and he was crying and he dried that song. Oh, Sadhguru, you're here, maybe you're chanting. And today I see you crying, what's going on? He said, but my spiritual master has given me an impossible instruction. He's told me to go to the West and give Krishna consciousness to these people. And I have a ticket. I'm leaving today and tomorrow on a double visa. I'm on my way now to get on the boat. And I came to get the mercy of the boat of Tarya because it was he who brought Lord Chaitanya down by his calling. He was saving people because if you don't, they're not going to come on. They're just too far. Thank you. So, Srila Prabhupada wrote this letter to Bhagavan Bhattacharya and wrote it in 1956. The 1956 is about 10 years before he came to New York, before he was influenced by Mr. Prabhupada. So, he wrote this letter to the President of India. And I want to, this is around the end of that. But first I want to point out that Srila Prabhupada not only saw himself as the servant of Krishna, he saw himself as the servant of you, and you, and me, and dedicated his life to that service. He saw his service to Krishna being our servant. He saw his service to the spiritual master training us up to strengthen his consciousness on the world. Prabhupada was on a mission. He was on a mission. And he spoke to this president of India, and he said to him, he started his letter with kindness of mind and patience. It is a custom in India from the time immemorial that a citizen of the state would approach the king, who has expressed his grievances for redemption, and the king would very kindly consider his case of freedom and give him necessary relief by way of judgment. At the present moment, Your Excellency is seated in the position of king by the will and grace of the Lord, and is a true Vaishnava that I must accept Your Excellency as a representative of Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, as He has expressed Himself in the pages of the Bhagavad-gita. Therefore, I beg to lay before Your most exalted honor the following few lines of favorable consideration, and do the needful in pure consciousness. I have to submit herewith that by the grace of Sri Krishna, through His mercy personified, my spiritual master, I have realized it most thoroughly that going back to Godhead is the highest privilege of mankind, and that is the supreme perfection of human life. Unfortunately, the present day human civilization is very much attached to the beauty of concrete, the illusory material nature. And as such, they are overpowered by the demonic form of propensity in the atheistic self of civilization manifested in the mind of sense gratification. This tendency is dangerously harmful to the real purpose of our own consciousness. The aim of life should be to make a sincere effort to go back to Godhead. But contrary to this, the tendency is to go back to hell, or in the cycle of evolutionary animals. As it is described in the 16th chapter of the Bible, this is 1956. Please, therefore, save them from this great father. Believe me or not, I have got two going back to God just after leaving my place in the cherubim. In order to take along with me all my contemporary men and women of the world, I have started my faith back to them as one of the new to the world. Please do not think me as wonderful or as a madman. When I say I shall go back to God after leaving my place in the cherubim, it is quite possible for everyone, all of us. In Bhagavad-gita, it is said very clearly that whoever shall ever may adopt the specific principle of accepting Sri Krishna, the personality of God, and he will be able to achieve the highest transcendental goal of life. No mind like this, either poor, untouchable, or woman, or religious, or man, dealing in rubies, honors, and acts. He being so, what is the difficulty for Christ's Godhead to both king for going back to Godhead? Everyone should therefore adopt this principle of going back to God in order to get released from the world of miseries that are temporary existence. Then he speaks about Chaitanya, who he says, then I am very eager, therefore, to broadcast the secret of my success to all men and women of the world as a natural consequence and seeking your excellency's help in cooperation and this great attempt to transcendental service. To make a worldwide propaganda for the most essential service to humanity, it is necessary that your excellency stretch the healthy meeting necessary in this realm. As your exalted honor, personally fit to do the job. I am employing a woman in the wilderness as your honor. So please help me in this moment of confidence. Thank you for the anticipation of your Father becomes my daughter, and Captain Fred goes on the phone to carry baby on the back, and it's his grandson and his son. So, as hardcore judge is thinking, my service is to judge this case, your guilty, your innocent. As father is thinking, my service is to support my family, to make sure my children are protected. As father, his service is to be on the floor and make his baby have a good time. So he's acting of course about my family. We have many, many different services. The bar saw the services to carry my services to be a sacrifice, okay, I'll be a sacrifice. My services to clean the floor, okay, clean the floor. We saw that actually problem when Robert first came to New York. He was cooking, he was cleaning, he was waiting online, he was washing the pumps off. He was coming to the coffee shop and chasing the boys back into here plants. So he wasn't the doctor, he wasn't the forester, he wasn't the king. He was the servant of Krishna, and his service manifested in the living. So it's really a matter of consciousness, this Dhamma-sadhana-sadhana. I think of myself, whatever I have to do, even if I'm in control of some situation, I think of it as my service. And I look at it even as here, and think, I'm a servant of my disciples, I'm a servant of my servants. And if I maintain that attitude of service, then what I do becomes motivated by the welfare of others instead of by the blame, the reflection, the desire to make a creation and description. So, yes. person. And it's one person from the internet, and he says, who was the spiritual master of Jed Ball? Players? Mishra from Phoenix. It's a very good question. Because it's not mentioned in the Bible time who the spiritual master was. And there is some mention in the writings of Dr. Sikantasasikitaku that Jed Ball fell down for two reasons. He cites two reasons. One reason was because he did not take the blessings of the spiritual master and the ultimate focus. He was able to go to the Lord without seeking the blessings of the spiritual master. So maybe he didn't have one, or maybe he had the priests, you know, the spiritual masters of the many bones in his kingdom, but it's not mentioned in the Shastra. Many chances to see a book. So there's no specific mention of the spiritual master. And the second reason, just out of curiosity, I'm sure you want to know, the second reason was because he went along to the forest and didn't have the association of devotees. So he knew the association of devotees because if he had had the association of devotees, someone might have said to him, don't you think I'm going to talk to this guy for a little bit? Maybe you should, but chill. Because this thing with the deal is going to be too much, and you're not doing this, so you know, you're not doing this, right? And so, but he was alone. And so his mind became his counselor. And we see with Arjuna also, that Arjuna at the beginning, his mind became his counselor. And he had many good arguments why he shouldn't do the right thing. Until he actually saw that spiritual master, and those spiritual masters said, you know, he's talking about them and being that actually and gave him 17 chapters of good instruction. And then at the end, he said what Dharmara is now saying to Lugna. I wonder. Now to them, and how do you even do? This is what Dharmara is saying, this is what Dharmara is saying to Lugna. Hey, if you want to be the master of this subject, you can really do what I do. But unfortunately, it's what we've been saying. They started, and then you went through the section. Did I see your hand up there, please? Yeah, in a sense, yes. Not particularly, but yes, the spiritual answer in that sense, yes. Spiritual content. You know, as we have it, all these relatives change, and so when it comes to making your final decisions in life, can't really go and sit down and do it. Anyway, I think I should end there. So, all right, thank you very much. All the ways you should have known about it. Thank you.